Amen. I want you to take the Word of God with me, please. Turn to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 6. The book of Nehemiah, chapter number 6. We have come back to the book of Nehemiah on the book of building and battling. And I am enjoying this book thoroughly. And I trust that this service will be a blessing to you. I will not get through with this message this morning unless you want to stay here until now, until supper time. God willing, I'll be continuing with it tonight. I may not get through it tonight. I don't know yet. We'll just take it and see what happens here. Nehemiah chapter 6, we're going to be preaching from verse 1 down to verse number 14. But for our gathering together today, we'll only get through verse 4. So let's just read those first four verses together. It came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall, and there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates. Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. I'm going to begin a message this morning entitled, Bible Answers for Enemy Attacks. Let me say it again, Bible Answers for Enemy Attacks. And let's pray together. I'm going to begin this message today, and we'll see how long it takes me to get through it, okay? Let's pray. Our Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for the Sunday school hour and how you've met with my own heart today. We rejoice in the redemption of Jesus Christ, how you've redeemed us by your shed blood on the cross of Calvary. Pray if somebody's here today that's come to church but never come to Christ, may they say yes to you and be bought back today, we pray. We love you now. Forgive my sins. Help me to be clean. May there be nothing to hinder you. May your will be done in its entirety. Please help us in Jesus' name. Amen. As we're studying this book, we see how practical it truly is. Now, in the first chapter, we saw how Nehemiah hears about the condition of his people and his city. Then he calls upon the Lord with the tremendous burden he felt to go and to do something about it. In chapter 2, the Lord answered his prayer and gave him favor in the sight of the king. He goes to Jerusalem to view the broken down walls, and then he encourages the people to rise and build. Now, these people saw the need and began to work. Chapter 3 shows us how the work of God took place with many people simply doing their part on the wall, on their part of the wall that was their responsibility. Get the picture. They did not look at the entire wall. They simply looked at the one part that God wanted them to build, and they put their whole heart into that section of the wall. It was a beautiful sight to see these dear people united in this great work. However, it's important for us to remember how great this work, listen to me, even though it was a great work, this great work had its share of opposition. If you remember, up until this point, chapter 6 where we're at, they had tried scorning the people. I'm talking about the enemies. They had tried threatening the people up to this point where we've come to this book. Then we've seen how the attacks began to come from the inside in the form of discouragement and greedy people, if you remember, taking advantage of their own. Now we've come to chapter 6. And we see the opposition from the outside coming back on the scene. However, as a side note, let me make this statement. It's interesting, when the people were being attacked from the inside, I'm talking about their own ranks. When there was strife on the inside, the outside opposition is not mentioned. Let me tell you why. Because when there's internal strife, the devil doesn't need outward strife. If he can get you fighting from the inside out, he's got you. Now, that being the case, as I was studying this chapter, I began to see how this work, especially the leader Nehemiah, has come under major attack again from the outside enemy. Now, it's important for us to remember that the enemy does not like the work of God progressing. As a matter of fact, every time the enemy heard of the progress, they did not like it. We saw that in chapter 2, verse 19. We saw that in chapter 4, verses 1 and 7. And we see it here in chapter 6, verse number 1. The enemy will try anything he can to stop this progress. Now, in this chapter, we see three separate attacks taking place. However, it's interesting that as these attacks are given, the Word of God gives the answers to these attacks as they come. Therefore, we're going to be considering in this message Bible answers for enemy attacks. Now, the point I'm trying to make is the way Nehemiah responded to these attacks is still the answer for these same kind of attacks today. And let me say this to you. It is so interesting that the attacks of the enemy has not changed. Are you listening to me? These same three attacks that we're going to be considering, at least this morning and tonight, possibly Wednesday night, I don't know yet. These same three attacks the enemy is still using today on those who are doing the will of God. But yet how Nehemiah responded to each one of these attacks is the Bible answer for those attacks. Now it's my desire through this message that each one of God's children will get help against the attacks of the enemy when they are busy doing the will of God for our lives. And let me say here that if you are sitting on the sideline and you're doing nothing for the glory of God, you probably won't even encounter these attacks. That's why some people don't get busy, because they're intimidated of the enemy. Well, let me say loud and clear here that I would rather fight against the attacks of the enemy while doing the work of God as to fight against God's will for my life and not have the peace that passeth all understanding. Now, that being the case, I'm going to give you scene one, scene two, and scene three. This morning, it's only scene one. And we see this scene in verses 1-4. Now, in these three scenes, I'm going to give you the individual attack and then how Nehemiah responded, which is the answer to that attack. First of all, let's notice this attack in scene number one. Get it? Here it is. We notice it was the attack of invitation. Invitation. Look at verse number two. Look at it now. That Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. Verse number four, yet they sent unto me four times after this sort. Now, in a nutshell, the enemy in this attack is simply trying to get, now get this, he's simply trying to get Nehemiah away from the will of God for his life. Now, he's doing this in order to harm him and to hinder the work that was being made. Now, we see in this, in how they try to deceptively invite him to the plain of Ono. Now this was a place some 25 to 35 miles away from where the wall was being constructed. Now they were trying to get Nehemiah from his place of duty, where he was doing so much good for the Lord. And they knew that if he came off the wall, they knew this would stop the progress of the building of the wall because of Nehemiah's influence over these working people. At the same time, they thought to do him mischief, in verse number 2 it says, in this meeting. In other words, these people who were trying to be kind and trying to be gracious and trying to simply say, come down, we're your friends, we're your buddies, come down and meet with us. Those people had an ultimate ulterior motive. And what that means is this. They tried to make him think they were out to help him when they were really out to hurt him. Now stay with me here. Anybody or anyone, get this, anyone or anything today that tries to draw you away from God's will for your life is not out to help you. They are out to hurt you. Now what I mean by that is this. Nehemiah is on the wall. He's doing God's will for his life. He knows this work is of God. He knows God is pleased with this work. He knows this is the enemy sending to him. They've already proved it in chapter 2 and chapter 4. He knows that they're not out to help him, but yet they try to just kind of coax him into coming, try to make him fall asleep, and they say, won't you come down and meet with us? All we want to do is talk to you. You don't want to be unkind and turn this meeting down, do you? Nehemiah saw right through it. And he realized something. He realized that these people were not out to help him. They were out to hurt him. When Nehemiah refused to have this meeting, we see in verse 4 how they extended the same invitation four times. You know what that tells me? They were very persistent. They kept it up and kept it up and kept it up and kept it up and kept it up. 1 Peter 5:8 sounds familiar, doesn't it? Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh, that's now, present, walketh about, seeking, that's present tense, whom he may devour. We notice the enemy from the outside. This attack was an attack of invitation. Come down and meet with us. Come down and yoke up with us. Come down and let us talk to you. Let us try to speak some sense into you. That's the attack. Now let's notice the answer. How did Nehemiah respond? Because I'm going to tell you something, folks. In a Christian's life, there are constantly people and constantly things who are calling you to come meet with them. You understand what I'm saying here? You understand what I mean? They're trying to draw you away from God's will. They're trying to draw you away from the wall that God has you on. And they're trying to hurt you and hinder the work of God by getting you just to come over and yoke up with them and just have a meeting with them and let them try to speak some sense into you. It's happening today. Anything that tries to get you away from God, that's what I'm talking. It's an invitation, an invitation, an invitation. The attack of invitation right here. What's the answer? Three things. As Nehemiah and the work of God has come under this attack, we see these several things that summarize what he did that all of us can learn from. As a matter of fact, there are three things I see that summarize what to do when you're attacked in this way of trying to lure you away from the place of service that God has you. There's three things to do. Right here it is. Number one. Say, oh no, to oh no. Say, oh no, to oh no. We see this in verses 3 and 4. How many of y'all realized that was coming? Would you raise your hand? You realize that was coming? Sure. I shared this with my wife last night. I said, number one, I said, say, oh no, to oh no. She said, that's as old as the day is long. She said, that's not original with you. I said, I know that. I never said it was. You see? But don't miss this point. Learn to say, oh no, to oh no. Look at verse number 3. The word of God says, look at verse number 2. Then Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. There it is. But they thought to do me mischief, and I sent messengers to them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease, whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent to me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. These enemies had fought Nehemiah and what the Lord had put in his heart from the beginning, and he knew it. He knew that a meeting with these enemies would not advance the work of God, but only hinder it. The point here is that Nehemiah refused to yoke up with the crowd that was out to hinder the progress of the work of God. By the way, Nehemiah was not afraid to be labeled as a fanatic. He was not afraid to be labeled as unkind. Let me say this to you. I know my own heart. I don't trust my own heart, but I know my own heart. And what I mean by that is this. I know God has put a love in my heart for the truth. You see what I'm saying? And if there's anybody out there who tries to get this church to yoke up with something that's not of the truth, we're not yoking up with it, folks. We're not doing it. Somebody says, well, they're kind people. So was Sanballat. But he's trying to harm him. You know it's not unkind to stand up for the truth. That's not unkind. It's a compromiser when you don't stand up for the truth. And what we see here is that Nehemiah saw something. He recognized that these people were simply trying to get him off the wall, yoke up with them so the work would cease and he could be hurt. In the same way, God's children are not to be caught in the plain of Ono, yoking up in a meeting with the enemy of God's work. Learn to say, oh no! To oh no in your life. And what this means is these meetings in this plane are only going to harm you and hinder the will and work of God in your life. That's all it is. I'm saying the enemy does not like the walls being constructed. He does not like that. There's other human beings who do not like that.
There are enemies to the work of God, and there are enemies to the will of God in your life. They come in the form of people. They come in the form of things. And every now and then, they're going to try to get you off the wall. Don't be a fanatic. Come over here and go here with us. Or come do this instead. God understands you don't have time for that. You come over here and go here with us. Everybody has those kind of things in their life. Everybody does. Everybody has somebody calling out as an invitation. Come to me. Come to me. Come off the wall. And I'm saying, learn to recognize that those people and those things are not out to help you. They are out to harm you. And they're out to hinder the work of God. And Nehemiah teaches us to say, oh no, I'm not coming down to the plain of oh no. 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Don't be a Christian, now get this, don't be a Christian that is found in the plain of oh no when you should be working on the wall. Your plain of oh no may be a particular people or person or places in which you need to stay away from in order to help the work of God progress in your life. Now, I'm not saying that you mistreat people. That's not what I'm saying. But there are certain people that you should not yoke up with. There are certain places you should not go. There are certain things you should not do, because when you do that, when they try to make you think that they're out to help you and they're being so kind about it, they're being so gracious about it, the devil is a deceiver. He deceives you. And if anything is trying to get you to stop doing something for God, say oh no to oh no in your life. That's the plain of oh no. And may God help us to see that when somebody's trying to stop us from doing something for God, that's the plain of oh no. That's the plain of oh no. That's the plain of oh no. And I will not be found there as God's child. That's what we learn from this is the answer. Say oh no to oh no. A couple of teenage sisters had slipped into their father's office. Their father was the governor. It was during the time when bobbed hair was becoming very fashionable for young ladies. This is many years ago, as you know. I don't even know what that is, so you know, don't think I'm against it. This is just an illustration here, okay? The governor didn't want his girls to have this bobbed hair. And on this particular day, they were both pleading with him for his permission. One of these girls came out with that often used remark, "But Father, everybody's doing it." The governor asked, "Whose daughters are you?" After hearing them acknowledge him, he said, "You are the daughters of the governor. You should not follow styles, you should set styles." Some of you catch that by freight sometime tomorrow. But what he's saying is this. He's saying because of who you are, you need to see your influence. You shouldn't just be going along, you should be setting the pace. And in the same way, I am sick, especially in the teenage scene. I love teenagers. Love all people, except some of you. Just kidding. But I love working with teenagers. And I'm so sick of God's children. I'm talking about somebody who's sold out, who comes to SOS. I'm talking about somebody who's listening to the right music, dressing the right way, going to the right places. I'm sick of that being looked upon like a fuddy-duddy. When really all of God's Christian teenagers ought to be setting the pace in their school. Amen. It's time for God's children to have a backbone that God's given you and say, "I will not go to oh no. I will not follow the styles. I will set the styles by God's grace." Say oh no to oh no. There was a lady. She had an unsafe friend. And she said, this unsafe friend couldn't understand the difference that was in her life when she trusted Christ. And here was her response. Listen to this. She said, just one letter of the alphabet makes all the difference between us now. She said, "You love the world, and I love the Word. Just one letter, the letter L. And I wonder today, what do you love? Do you love the world more than you love this book? If you do, you're in the plain of oh no." You know, I don't think it's a coincidence that it was that plain that they wanted to meet and that God included in His Word. It's the plain of oh no, oh no, oh no. You better learn to say oh no to oh no.
Because if you don't, you're going to start yoking up with things and places and people that's going to get you off the wall, and you'll never do anything for God. It's time that we as God's children stop settling for what everybody else is doing and get busy doing something for God. May God give this church and all of us in it a backbone of steel to go God's way and not the way of Ono. First of all, the answer, say oh no to oh no. Secondly, see the importance of God's work. We see this in verse number 3. Look at it. And I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave and come down to you? You know the second thing that summarized how Nehemiah responded to this attack of invitation, come be with us, was that he really saw the importance of God's will and work in his life. He did not take what the Lord had put in his heart lightly. He didn't. Here's the point here. He had his priorities straight. He was putting the work of God first. The work of God was more important than this deceptive meeting in his life. Now, folks, in the same way, listen. Now, you know as your pastor, I hope you know by now, I want to help you. I really want to help you. And sometimes you get help by being hurt. And what I mean by that is I step on your feet. But you take surgery. It takes pain for a little while at first. But the end result is health. You see what I'm saying? By the way, understand that when I step on your feet, the Holy Spirit has already stepped on mine way before He steps on yours in my study. And what I'm saying here is that in the same way, when God's children view God's work the same way Nehemiah did, everything else will be less important. I wonder right now, what's the priority in your life? Are you the priority? Is sports the priority? Is school the priority? Is your marriage the priority? Is your family the priority? What's the priority in your life? If your answer is anything other than the Lord and His will for your life, you're missing what life's all about. We need to put God first in our lives and make sure His will and His work have top priority. Now, let me say this to you. There is a lost and dying world that needs Jesus Christ. There are children and parents of these children and teenagers all over the Tri-Cities who do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Let me tell you one reason that's true. It's because God's children has not put God's work first. They've put everything else first. Sporting activities, school, dramas, all these other kind of things, work, family, everything else comes first, and then if you have time, you'll give a little bit of extra time to God, like God's pleased with that. You know what it's time for? It is time for God's children to see the importance of God's work like Nehemiah did and said, listen, this is a great work I'm doing, and I cannot come down because this work is important. And it's time for us to see the work of God for what it is. And that is, it is the top priority, whether it is in your life or not. God's work's important, folks. God's work is important. And Nehemiah saw this. He saw this in his life. Jenny Lind won great success as an opera singer, and money poured into her purse. Yes, she left the stage when she was singing her best and never went back to it. Never went back. She must have missed the money, the fame, the applause, but she was content to live in privacy. Now, once an English friend found her on the sea sands with a Bible on her knee, looking out into the glory of a sunset. They talked, and the friend asked, "Oh, madam, how is it that you ever came to abandon the stage at the height of your success?" And here's what she said. She said, "When every day it made me think less of this," and she put her finger on her Bible. "And nothing at all of that." And she pointed to the sunset. And she said, "What else could I do?" Now, does that mean that I'm telling you that you need to give up all these other things? I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying when whatever else it is, now I realize work and all this kind of stuff comes in, and if you go to work, you have to go to work. I know that.
Well, let's just pull something out of the air. Let's just say a sporting event or a trip or something like that. Just give me something to connect the dots with here. If you have a sporting event or church, which one do you go to? If your child is in sports and you will take them there, but you don't bring them, if they're a teenager, to SOS, who's got priority in your life? See, I believe in just telling it like it is. You see what I'm saying? I love every one of you, and I'm trying to help you. And I'm trying to say this. God deserves first place in our lives. He deserves first place. Is He in yours? Well, I'm afraid if I do that, I'm going to lose my kids. You've already lost them. You've already lost them. If you teach them the unimportance of the house of God, you've lost them, folks. You say, Jody, this is old-fashioned. Thank you. I appreciate that. Because that's what I'm trying to be. And you know in your heart as a child of God, you know this is right, don't you? You know it's right. You think it's easy for me to stand up here and say, if you take them to a sporting event, but you're not in the house of God, or you take them to a sporting event, but you don't bring them soul winning, you take them there, but you don't take them here. You think that's easy for a pastor to stand up here and say that? No. Let me tell you something, that's true in my life too. That's true in my life too. I've got to live what I preach. And I'm trying to apply this message that Nehemiah saw the importance of the work of God. He saw how important of a work it is. And he did not succumb to this invitation. He saw the importance of God's word. I wonder if the Lord Jesus is walking on this earth in bodily form, would He have the same schedule and priorities that you do? That's a sobering question, isn't it? Would His daily schedule be the same as yours? Would He be doing what you're doing? Would He be going where you're going? When you go and how you go? See, that is the ultimate test. You're an ambassador of Christ if you're saved. Are you giving an accurate picture of who He is? He saw the importance of God's work. Somebody said this, you can't control the length of your life, but you have something to say about its width and its depth. In other words, what you give it to. First of all, what's the first answer to the invitation attack? They're trying to get you off the wall. How do you respond? What's the Bible answer? Say oh no to oh no. See the importance of God's work. And number three, stay on the wall. Stay on the wall. In verse number four, yet they send to me four times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Right here's what I'm saying. Even though the enemy's attacks were persistent, so was Nehemiah's resolve to stay on the wall. Nehemiah knew that what he was doing was the will of God for his life. He knew the plain of Ono was only a place to distract and deter him in this great work. And he simply refused to come down off the wall. And he remained on the wall doing his duty in the face of this attack. Every time the attack came, he said, Ono. Came again, Ono. Came again, Ono. Came again, Ono. I told you. He stayed on the wall. He was persistent. He was faithful. He kept doing it. And he kept on working for God. In the same way, we all need to have this same resolve when it comes to the walls of God's will for our lives. In other words, whatever it is that God has for us to do, we are to stick with it until the work is finished. In other words, stay faithful to the Lord and His will and work for your life. Simply learn to refuse to come down from off the wall. Be faithful to the end. 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. 2 Timothy 4:7, the Apostle Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. You ever heard the chorus, the hymn of the chorus, Hold the Fort for I'm Coming? Written by P.P. Bliss. You know, the powerful thing is how that hymn, that chorus, was suggested to him by an incident in the American Civil War. At a certain fort that was being held by General Corse, it was besieged by the enemy under General Hood, who summoned it to surrender. In other words, this fort was being held, and then it came under attack, and this general, this other general was asking it to surrender. Of course, refused to surrender. Many were the casualties, but in spite of the hopeless situation, the defenders remained faithful. When all of a sudden, a white flag across the valley, some 20 miles away, waved the message, "Hold the fort, for I am coming." General Sherman was marching to the relief of the beleaguered and faithful defenders. Here they were holding this fort. It was hard. The enemy on the outside was saying, "Surrender, surrender, surrender, surrender." And they kept holding it and kept holding it and kept holding it and kept holding it until finally there was the white flag. And he said, "I'm on my way, boys. Just hold the fort, for I'm coming." And in the same way, I know it's hard at times. I know it's rough sometimes to stay on the wall. And many times you think it'd be so much easier to jump down off the wall and just go ahead and have that meeting. Just go ahead and yoke up with that, or go ahead and give in to that, or go ahead and do that, because it's so hard. It's so hard. It's so hard. People falling around you everywhere, and you think to yourself, "Can I hold on? Can I hold on?" And I'm saying, from the portals of glory, Jesus Christ has already raised the anthem that He's coming again. Let us hold the fort until the Lord comes back. The first attack that we've noticed is the attack of invitation. Come off the wall, Nehemiah. We're asking you nicely. We're trying to be Christian gentlemen in this. Come down and yoke up with us. Stop giving your life to the wall and come down here and let us speak some sense to you. Nehemiah, can't you see him? What a leader he was. Can't you see him up on the wall whenever that news comes to him? And he says, "This work that I'm involved in is a great work. I cannot and will not come down, because what I'm doing is God's will for my life." He said, "Oh no, to oh no." In that, he saw the importance of God's work. And in that, folks, he stayed on the wall. He didn't come down. He stayed faithful to God. If you do not learn this lesson here, you got a long road ahead of you in the Christian life. Do you understand what I've preached today? Do you get it? Do you understand it? That when you're up on the wall trying to do something for God, the devil will make sure that he sends somebody or something across your pathway to try to get you off the wall, try to coax you, try to invite you, try to graciously invite you to step down and come over to them. When that happens, say oh no to oh no. See the importance of God's will in your life. And stay on the wall and don't give. That's the message this morning. Tonight we'll look at another attack. And I hope you'll be here to hear it. Because these attacks you need to know about. And you need to know how to overcome them. And I hope this will help you this morning. Let's all bow for a word of prayer, please. Our Father, we love you. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for this message. Father, it's so simple. That when we're doing something for you, the enemy does not like it. And one thing the enemy does is he'll try to attract us. He'll try to invite us to come to the plain of Ono and just yoke up and just meet up and just give in. When it's your will for us to learn to say no to Ono, to see the importance of your work and put you first, and to stay on the wall that you've given us to do. Help us to be faithful. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. This is an instructive message. First things is first. I wonder, whose side are you on today? Are you on the side of the enemy? Or are you on the side of God? I'm asking, are you a born again child of God? Have you been redeemed? Have you been bought back?
Are you a Christian? Do you know the Lord? Have you been saved? If you've been saved and know it, you've been redeemed and know it, you are a Christian without a doubt. You've trusted Christ and Christ alone. No doubts in your mind. If that's you, be honest. Raise your hand in the air with mine, please. Thank you. You put your hands right back down. Is there somebody here? Say, Jody, would you pray for me? I do not know that heaven is my home. I do not know that I've been redeemed. I do not know that if I died today that I would go to heaven. But I understand that this is so important. And I'm asking you as the pastor, would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? If that's you, would you be honest? Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody like that? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. You say, Jody, pray for me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm not sure I'm saved. Anybody at all? Would you raise your hand? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. Then let me ask you this question. Is there something in your life that you need to say no to? Is there someone in your life that you need to say no to? Be honest and say, Jody, I know what the plain of oh no is in my life. It may be a certain person, it may be a certain thing, it may be a certain place, but you say, Jody, I know what the plain of oh no is in my life. I know what it is. I know what or who it is. I know who or what it is that's inviting me to come away from God's will. Have you know what it is? Be honest. Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. Yes. That's several hands. God bless you. God bless you. Let me be honest and say, Jody, the decision I need to make today is to make God's work and God's will top priority in my life. God knows that His will and work is not top priority. Now, it takes an honest person to respond to this. But understand, it all starts with honesty. It really does. It could be your church attendance. It could be Bible reading. It could be soul winning. I don't know what it is, but it could be that you know in your heart that God's will and work has not had first place in your life. It's not the top priority. And you need to see the importance of it. Let me be honest about that question. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand? Be an honest person. God bless you. God bless you. Several hands to that. Thank you for being honest. You put your hands right back down. Have you say, Jody, I need to get back on my section of the law. It could be the section of Bible reading. It could be the section of soul winning. It could be the section of praying, or it could be the section of right marital relations, whatever it is. You say, Jody, there's a section of the wall that I have already come off of. And God's telling me I need to get back on that section. I need to be more faithful in that area. I need to get on the wall there. Stay on the wall right there. That's where it is. Have you be honest? Be honest now. Would you raise your hand? You say, Jody, that's me. That's me. God bless you. If you raise your hand to anything, in just a moment, I'm going to extend an invitation. And I'm going to invite you to leave your place and come. By the way, it's a good practice whenever God speaks to you to come forward. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. But folks, when God speaks to you, that's big. That's big. That's a big deal. And we need to recognize it. May the Lord help us. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, help it now. Please help people to respond. Help them to come and respond. Say, oh no to oh no. Make your work top priority and get back on the wall and stay there and stay firm and not give in to this attack of invitation. May thy will be done in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. As soon as he says the first word, would you leave your place and come, please?
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.
Oh,
standing. I'd like you to look this way. We're just about through. People are praying. But what I'm saying to you today, I just don't want you to misunderstand it. Everybody has somebody or something in the plane of oh no trying to get you to come there. Everybody does. Do you understand that? Everybody does. And the point is that the enemy is very persistent in inviting you to come to that plane. They'll keep on inviting you. They'll keep on inviting you. But the book of Nehemiah shows us something. It shows us their real purpose, their real intent. And their intent is not to help, it's to harm. And it's to hinder God's will and work in your life. That's what that meeting's all about. They do not like the work of God progressing. So they'll try to get all cozy with you and all friendly with you and say, come down here and meet with us here. But they'll never come and help you on the wall. You see what I'm saying? They're against you. They're against God. And when you get that invitation in your heart or literally out of somebody's mouth, whatever it is, you young people, it could be a certain dating relationship that you need to say, oh no, about. I'm saying I don't know what it is. But when that invitation, that attack of invitation comes, say oh no. To oh no. See the importance of what God is doing in your life and the importance of working on the wall. Let it have top priority. Don't settle for a second-rate meeting, in other words. And then stay put on the wall until the Lord comes back to get you. That's the message. And we all need it, every one of us. May God drive it on our hearts. Maybe somebody lost here today, and I want to challenge you. This next verse, come, let us deal with you. If you don't do that as you leave, if you'll find me, find Brother Gary, find one of our men, say, I need to be saved. We'll help you. We'll help you. May the Lord help us with this. Let's sing that last verse together, Brother Gary. Shall we?
Behind me, the cross.
Bus number 2. And he's come today. And Gabriel, you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Is that right? Outstanding. That is wonderful. We're so happy for you and so proud of you. And this is the first step. Now you're going to heaven when you die. Isn't that great? We're thrilled that you're here. God bless you for getting on that bus today. That makes it worth it, doesn't it? That's what it's all about. Amen. How many of you happy for it? Say a big amen. Amen. Wonderful. I hope you'll be back tonight. I'm preaching tonight, but we have one of our missionaries that's going to be giving a report to us in about 20 minutes. Brother Ethan Champlin from Suriname. So I hope you'll be here to hear him, and I'll get up and continue on with this message and get as far as we can get. We might have to do this again on Wednesday night. I don't know, but that'll be okay. I hope you'll be here for that. Don't you know I love you? I mean every last one of you. I love you. You say you don't know me. That's why I love you. No, I'm just kidding. All right? I love you because the Lord Jesus loves you through me. And I as your pastor, I want you to know I'm trying to help you. I think you know that in your heart, don't you? I hope. May the Lord drive this message on our heart, okay? Let's be praying. Come back in our places tonight if we shall, okay? It's good to have Philip and Crystal Starnes back in the service with us. They've moved away from us, gotten out of the will of God. No, I'm just kidding with you. They're in a great church down in central Tennessee, I believe I'm right in saying that. If you wouldn't mind to lead us in our closing prayer, God bless you, sir. Thank you.